بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
I wanted to thank the organizers for inviting me to contribute something small with regard to Sahifa Sajjadiya, and I want to dedicate this talk to a very special lady who passed away a couple of months ago. Her name was Zahra Islamia, and she was a devotee to Islam, Ahlul Bayt, and Islamic Revolution. Not very well known now in the community because she became withdrawn in later life, but this is dedicated to her. So I'm going to be talking a little bit about terminology in Sahifa Sajjadiya. Some of my research has entailed critically comparing the emergence of the Sunni Sufi tradition out of the Imami tradition. What we find when we look into the histories of Islamic mysticism and Islamic spirituality, if you pick up a book on Islamic mysticism or Islamic spirituality, you will most often see this unfolding history, this developing mystical tradition with prominent figures who became known as Sufis and who were credited with developing a certain type of language and concepts that were used in Islamic mysticism. But what is often overlooked in these histories is that this tradition emerged side by side with the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, alayhum salam, and it particularly started to emerge as a recognized movement during the period of the minor occultation. What has happened when we look at writings on Islamic spirituality is that these early figures from the Sunni tradition have in short been credited with using terms and concepts that the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam were using much earlier in their works. So one interesting topic that needs to be considered is that of the topic of love, the topic of mahabba in the Islamic spiritual tradition. And again, when you read the standard histories of the emergence of Islamic mysticism, Islamic spirituality, most historians will say that Islamic spirituality emerged out of the ascetic tradition that arose after the martyrdom of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So there was this period of asceticism, and then there emerged this period of mahabba, and you know, where people started to express their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and introduce this idea of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these histories will say that it was the mystics of Basra and Baghdad and Kufa that started to talk about mahabba. Another point when we look at the history of this period, another thing to bear in mind is that with regard to this subject of mahabba, this was actually a point of conflict during the Abbasid period. So there was a time during the Abbasid period where certain Abbasid caliphs were particularly promoting Hanbali theologians. They were promoting the Hanbali school. And what they were doing was setting up courts and summoning scholars, including Sunni scholars, to examine their aqidah. And if they did not have the correct aqidah, then they were sentenced to death. So one of those people who was summoned to the court was Junayd al-Baghdadi, the founder of the Baghdad Sufi school, who incidentally founded the Baghdad Sufi school after spending time in Basra with Mu'tazilis and Imami Shia. He spent time there and then he went back to Baghdad and founded what became known as the Baghdad Sufi school. And he was summoned to court to justify the idea that it was possible for Allah to love the human being and for the human being to love Allah, for these expressions of love from the human being to Allah and vice versa. And as it happened, Junayd was only able to escape execution by denying that he was an arif of any kind and by basically doing taqiyah and saying, I'm just a jurist, you know, I don't know anything about these matters. And so he was allowed to, you know, he was let go, but he had to spend the rest of his life in retirement. So we can see that, and he was actually also living during the period of the minor occultation. This is something else that we need to do when we are researching this early period, is compare what were the early urafa, Sunni urafa, doing in relation to the lifetimes of the imams. What was going on with regard to the imams and what was going on with regard to these figures? So Junayd al-Baghdadi became prominent again during the minor occultation, which was a time when this movement that became known as the Sufi movement began to really take off and start to proliferate the concepts and practices that had been taught by the Imams of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So one of the main concepts that became a foundation of Sunni Sufism was walaya. And I've written on this elsewhere. If anyone wants the paper, please do contact me on Facebook and I can send you the paper, because I've done a critical comparison of the concept of walaya in Imami Shiism and in the Sunni Sufi tradition. But this other concept that we can see was that of mahabba, love. And as we know, there are verses in the Holy Quran that actually do confirm that it is possible for there to be this relationship of love between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the human being. So as we have here in chapter 3, 31, say, O Muhammad, if you love God, follow me, and then God will love you. And that's just one example. There are other examples which I don't have time to go into. So what I will do is go straight into some of the examples from the Sahifa Sajjadiyya, some of which were mentioned just now. And what I'm going to do is just highlight some of the language that has been used in Sahifa Sajjadiyya that was actually credited to later figures who were the founders of the Sunni Sufi tradition. So we have, again, in as is very well known, in the Sunni Sufi tradition, obviously this whole concept, I mean, this became the basis, as we know, of so much poetry, this idea of burning with love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, burning up with this love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this idea of yearning for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we have certain terminologies here that became very popular. Again, if you pick up any kind of book from going on from the 13th century onwards, written by Sunni mystics, they will be using these terminologies, which we find earlier in Sahifa Sajjadiyya. So we have in the Munajat al-Muftaqirin, the Munajat of the Utterly Poor, that's Munajat number 79, Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam says, "Nothing will cool my burning thirst but reaching you, quench my ardor but meeting you. Dampen my yearning, but gazing upon your face. And so we have these ideas and concepts arising in the language, with, as an example, the word for ardor, lawati, my torment, my anguish. So he's already introducing here this idea of the servant of Allah in torment and anguish from being separated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this concept was, being circulated by Imam Zain al-Abidin during the time when we still really have what was meant to have been the ascetic tradition, continuing predominantly in the Muslim world. So he says, La'ati, my torment or my anguish. And then another term that has become elaborated upon in the mystical tradition is the idea of liqa Allah, meeting Allah. So this has become again a whole topic within the Islamic mystical tradition, but we see that Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam is again using this word with regard to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this liqa, this meeting with you. Another term that became very popular and circulated in the Sunni Sufi tradition was the term of shawq, or yearning. So again, if you pick up any book on Sunni Sufism, they will use this term for yearning for Allah, which is shawq. And it was considered to be a particular station that someone reaches in their journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he uses the term shawqi ilayka, my yearning for you. And then, of course, the idea of gazing upon the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, there's also this expression in Arabic, as we know, that it's encouraged to embark on a good action for the sake of seeking the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, he's referring to the wajh, the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we have also in his Munajat al-Dhakirin, of course, Dhakirin coming from the word dhikr, the ones who engage in dhikr, and of course dhikr being very famous and popularized in the Sunni Sufi tradition. Anne-Marie Schimmel has written a lot on that. But again, he's talking about the dhakirin, the ones who do dhikr in his particular munajat. So he, in his munajat of dhakirin, he says, O Allah, enraptured hearts are passionately in love with you. Now bear in mind again, this is coming a couple of centuries before Junayd al-Baghdadi was summoned to court to justify this concept of love between the human being and Allah. So he says, enraptured hearts are passionately in love with you, and hearts find no serenity except in remembering you. Souls find no rest except in seeing you. So he's talking about the hearts, but there are also these different terminologies that are used for love. This is another issue, that he doesn't just use one term for love or desire. You know, it's not just mahabba as an example. But we also have the expression, so he says, إِلَهِ بِكَ حَامَةَ الْقُلُوبِ الْوَالِحَةُ. So ham is to be passionately in love with. Walaha, enthralled or enraptured. So these are the terminologies that he's using. Hambi, to be passionately in love with. Walaha, to be enthralled or enraptured. And then, of course, talking about dhikr as well. Dhikrullah, hearts find no serenity except illa bi dhikrak. Except in your dhikr, except in remembrance of you and mentioning you. Actually witnessing Allah. So he says, souls find no rest illa inda ru'yak, except in the vision of you. And then we have the next one, Munajat al-Muridin. This is again very interesting because in the Sunni Sufi tradition, for those who may have studied it, of course we know that we have the Sheikh and we have the students of the Sheikh who are called Murid. A student of the Sheikh in the Sunni Sufi tradition is called a Murid. So we find again much earlier on, several centuries, just before, just got a couple of things almost and then I've finished. We find again earlier on, before this whole idea of murid, this is another point that I have to quickly put in, is that the tariqas didn't develop until the 12th century. What became known as Sufi tariqas did not actually develop until the 12th century. So this idea of the murid, of the sheikh, the one who's searching for Allah, attaching himself to a sheikh did not develop until then. So again, we see this developing several centuries after we have this concept appearing in Sahifa Sajjadiyya by Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. So he says, Munajat al-Muridin, the devotees or the ones who are seeking Allah. He says, I ask you to place me among those whom you have raised to a high station with you and given them a share of your love. Toward you is my yearning, and in love for you is my passionate longing. So again, he's using the term for love here, your love, wuddika, wadada, or you know, wadda, meaning love. So he says, give me a portion of your love. And he says, again, using the word shawq, towards you is my yearning, ilayka shawqi. In love for you is my passionate longing, wa fi mahabbatika walahi. So again, we have this very openly used term of mahabba being used by the imam. Again, what developed in the Sunni Sufi tradition with the development of the tariqas from the 12th century onwards, and we find this in the one particular tariqa whose name has slipped my mind, but it developed in Turkey, and in fact they were exiled by the Ottomans and sent over to Bosnia. Can anyone remember the... Anyway, inshallah it will come back to me. So they have this hierarchy within their particular tariqa, and someone who attaches themselves to this tariqa will be called a muhib, a lover of Allah. So again, this idea of muhib, being a muhib or a lover of Allah, again, you know, became circulated and popularized in the Sunni Sufi tradition. But again, like I say, you know, as we find in Sahifa Sajjadiyya, several centuries earlier, we find that Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam is using this term for the lovers of Allah, the muhibbin, the ones who love Allah. So he says, my God, who can have tasted the sweetness of thy love and wanted another place, which we had just read out just now, and wanted another in place of you? Who can have become intimate with your nearness and desired distance from you, or desired removal from you? So again, what he's introducing here, which was not said to have been introduced again until several centuries later. Even Professor William Chittick has said that the idea of love as a way to God didn't develop until the 12th century. He says this in one of his introductory books on Sufism. He says love as a way to God was not really recognized until about the 12th century. But again, as we see several centuries earlier, we find it in this book. And another concept that we find in the mystical tradition that was circulated, which we find again in the work of Imam Zain al-Abidin, alayhi salam, is the idea of tasting. So you had shawq, yearning, and after shawq comes dhawq, which is tasting, actually tasting the presence of Allah, tasting the sweetness of His presence. So he says, man dhaladhi dhaqa halwa mahabbatika, halwa, the sweetness of your love. So he's already introducing this idea of tasting the sweetness of your love.
I'm sorry, but we're running out of time, I'm afraid. Okay. Yes.
Just got one more, and then that's it. No problem. And then another term which we find, another terminology that you will find in all the Sunni Sufi texts, is the idea of ons. Ons was a particular station, which is, and in fact, if you read Paul Nuiya's chapter on the tafsir that is attributed to Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, this is in French. And I've translated it into English, and it's not published yet. But he actually maps out an itinerary of stations towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam was meant to have mapped out. We need to authenticate that. But the 12th station is Mahabba, and the 11th station is Mahabba. So 12 stations. The 11th station is Mahabba. The 12th station is Ons, which is intimacy. And so we see an ons obviously became circulated in the mystical tradition, and we find it here where he says, "Man dhaladhi anisa biqurbika." Who can have become intimate, anisa biqurbika, with your nearness and desired distance from you. So this is just a small sample of terminologies. And I will just conclude with, again, a statement that one of the main figures who popularized or who initiated the Sunni Sufi tradition was someone called Hakim Tirmidhi from Khorasan. And he's different from the Hakim Tirmidhi who was the Muhaddath in the Sunni tradition. He was another Hakim Tirmidhi. He traveled down from Khorasan, he went to Mecca and did his Hajj, and then he went back to Iraq. And then after walking around in Iraq, he then came up with this book called Sirat al-Awliya, which has been translated into English as it's not the Way of the Saints, but it's by Radke. Radke and O'Kane, if you want to get that. It's called the Concept of Sainthood in Early Islamic Mysticism. What is interesting is that Hakim Tirmidhi was the one who developed the whole science of what was known as Sunni Sufism, but if you compare it to the ahadith in Usul al-Kafi, you will see that this has basically been lifted from, to put it politely, from Usul al-Kafi. So one last term with which Hakim Tirmidhi has been credited in the scholarly works.
I think we're going to have to make it really, really, really short.
Yeah, just finishing. Is the term manzil for station. So there have been scholars that have actually said this was something unique that Hakim Tirmidhi used when he's talking about the maqam or the station that you will attain with nearness to Allah. And he says actually Hakim Tirmidhi uniquely used the term manzil. But we find in the first dua of Sahifa Sajjadiyah, where Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam says, "Praise belongs to God, a praise through which he will illuminate for us the shadows of the barzakh, ease for us the path of resurrection, and raise our stations, manazilina, at the standing places of the witnesses." So that was a quick whizzing through the history, but inshallah, hopefully, it's just to raise some awareness with an approach to Sahifa Sajjadiyah, to read it with an awareness of how its terminologies were developed afterwards in history and became another tradition that has been popularized. And this is a call for, the Shi'i youth to go back to the root if we want to attain, the authentic ilm al-batin. Thank you very much. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.